Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Baldev Das Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Chanto, 5th Chapter, 25th verse onwards. I would like to hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji to give the brief introduction about Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji, you can please take over the call.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. His Grace Baladev Prabhuji is a senior brahmachari at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple in ISKCON Chaupati. He is a disciple of His Holiness Ramnath Swami Maharaj. Prabhuji was born into a devotee family, and academically he has a bachelor's degree in physics. He worked for some time before dedicating his life full-time in service to Srila Prabhupada's mission. Prabhuji is spearheading the preaching activities for ISKCON Youth Services, which trains thousands of young students in the science of Krishna consciousness. He is also involved in innumerable other services, like serving on the Yatra Committee and leading the book distribution service for ISKCON Chaupati. He is a senior counselor, he is a counselor, a mentor, and a guide to many devotees. And he also travels internationally to countries in Africa and Central America to spread the message of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Tiffany Mataji. Let's wait for Prabhuji. Please accept our humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic, Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Chanto, 5th Chapter, 25th verse onwards. You can please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Dhanvatmana, Prabhuji.
Can you all hear me? Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशकारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे Hare Krishna, we welcome all the devotees on this Bhakti Sangha platform for today's morning Srimad Bhagavatam class there. Today we are going to discuss on the verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 5th Chapter and 25th verse. मतोपि अनन्तात् परतः परस्मात् स्वर्गापवर्गाधिपतेर्न किञ्चित् येषां किं युस्याद् इतरेण तेषाम् अकिञ्चनानां मयि भक्तिभाजाम् ट्रान्स्लेशन् एण्ड् पर्पोर्ट् बै डिवैन् ग्रेस् एसि भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद Translation. I am fully opulent Almighty and superior to Lord Brahma and Indra, the king of the heavenly planets. I am also the bestower of all happiness obtained in the heavenly kingdom and by liberation. Nonetheless, the Brahmanas do not seek material comforts from me. They are very pure and do not want to possess anything. They simply engage in my devotional service. What is the need of their asking for material benefits from anyone else? Purport. The perfect Brahmanical qualification is stated herein. Akinchanana mai bhakti bhajam. The Brahmanas are always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Consequently, they have no material wants, nor do they possess material things. The Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 11.8, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains the position of pure Vaishnavas who are anxious to return home back to Godhead. Nishkinchanasya Bhagavat Bhajan Unmukhasya. Those who actually want to return back to Godhead are called Nishkinchana. That is, they have no desire for material comfort. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises Sandarshanam Vishayinam Athayoshitam Cha Ahant Hant Vishabhakshanato Api Asadhu. Material opulence and sense gratification through the association of women are more dangerous than poison. Brahmanas who are pure Vaishnavas always engage in the Lord's service and are devoid of any desire for material gain. The Brahmanas do not worship demigods like Lord Brahma, Indra or Lord Shiva for any material comfort. They do not even ask the Supreme Lord for material profit. Therefore, it is concluded that the Brahmanas are the supreme living entities of this world. Sri Kapila Deva also confirms this in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 29th Chapter, 33rd Verse. Tasman mai arpita shesha kriyarthatma nirantaraha mai arpitaatmana pumsho mai sanyasta karmanaha na pashyami param bhutam akurtu akartu samadarshanat. Yeah, please scroll. The Brahmanas are always dedicated to the Lord's service with their bodies, words and mind. There is no better person than a Brahmana who thus engages himself and dedicates himself to the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. So this is a series of verses which is a verses of enlightenment by Lord Rishabhdev to his 100 sons. This is a very beautiful chapter. In fact, one of the very often and most quoted verses of Srila Prabhupada comes in this chapter, the first verse itself. Nayam deha deha bhajami loki kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujam. So the most often quoted shloka in Srila Prabhupada's classes is one of this lecture, one of these shlokas which comes in this particular chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada really loved quoting this verse, especially how one should not waste his human form of life in sense gratification. Rather, Lord Rishabhdev mentions to his sons that one should dedicate his life from tapo divyam putrakayena. He's telling his sons and to his sons, he's telling all of us in this world, tapo divyam, one should engage in divine tapasya. And what is the speciality of this tapasya? Tapo divyam putrakayena. Shuddhyat yasmat brahma saukhyam tu anantam. This pure divine tapasya will lead to brahma sukha, transcendental happiness. And this transcendental happiness is not just transcendental, but it is eternal, tu anantam, and unlimited as well. So the process of Krishna consciousness is very beautifully described in this chapter by Lord Rishabhdev to his sons. And this particular verse which we are discussing today and the previous verses speaks about Lord Rishabhdev glorifying the Brahmanical culture and the Brahmanas. You find that how Lord Krishna is the upholder of Brahmanical principles. we often recite this beautiful shloka during our offerings. Namo Brahmana Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Nama. So Lord Krishna, Lord Narayan, they love Brahmanas, and that's what is here Lord Vishwadev reflecting upon. He is glorifying the Brahmanical culture, he is glorifying the Brahmanas here. However, we need to know that Lord Krishna, though he glorifies Brahmanas, he is also very clear about what the definition of a Brahmana is. In this particular verse, it's very clear-cut definition that how a Brahmana is not at all engaged or attracted to anything material in this world. In fact, the destination of a real Brahmana is Goloka Vrindavan or the spiritual world. We have so many instances in the scriptures where Lord Shri Krishna has firmly emphasized the principle of who the real Brahmana is. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, we find Krishna is very beautifully giving us a lesson through this chapter of Yajnik Brahmanas, where Lord Shri Krishna is reciprocating the wives of the Brahmanas for their pure devotional service, and teaching the Brahmanas with husbands who are doing yagyas for not understanding the essence of the yagya. The essence of the yagya is to satisfy the beneficiary of the yagya, that is Lord Narayan. And here Lord Narayan, Lord Krishna himself is coming and asking for the offering, and yet the Brahmanas are reluctant to give that offering on the pretext of doing a yagya. So through this beautiful story, Lord Krishna proves that Brahmana is not just for namesake or just for externally just a birth, one does not become a Brahmana. One more instance comes in the Bhagavatam 9th canto, where through the Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj episode, Lord proves that how even Durvasa Muni, even though he was a great Brahmana with a lot of powers, in fact, such a power that he could travel all over the universe, in fact, even reach the Vaikuntha. Yet, when he made a mistake of going against a great devotee like Ambarish Maharaj, who was a householder, yet Lord Narayan taught him a lesson where Durvasa Muni had to come, the great renunciate Brahmana had to come and bow down at the lotus feet of Ambarish Maharaj and beg forgiveness from him. So these are various instances in the Shastra where Krishna is also mentioning to us that Brahmana is not just by external birth or some powers, but actually Brahmana is by heart, who is taken shelter of Krishna, Krishna Ashra, Krishna Ashra. Srila Prabhupada many times quotes this verse in his classes. Brahma Janati Iti Brahma Shudra Samskarat Bhavet Dvija. By Janma, by birth, everyone is born a Shudra. Samskarat Bhavet Dvija. He becomes Dvija or twice born by Samskaras, by initiation Samskar, by Vedic education Samskars. And finally, when he comes to the understanding of what is the absolute truth, Brahma Janati, then he is called a Brahmana. So in this way, we understand whole and soul what exactly the Brahmana Lord is referring to. In this particular verse, Lord is clearly demarcating the qualification to become a Brahmana. A Brahmana is one who is not after petty material things. He is the one whose goal is already fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. So we find in our India especially, and Indians especially, wherever they stay in the world, whether India or abroad, there is always a culture, or rather there is kind of a custom where people quote and say that they are Brahmanas from South India or North India or any part of India, and claim that they are very fortunate to be born Brahmana. However, we know all of us that how some of us may have opportunity to be born in Brahmana family, but we have nothing to do with Brahmanical culture. In fact, we are very far and far away from the concept of Brahma Janati Iti Brahmana. And today, Brahmanas are more or less just for namesake Brahmana, caste sake Brahmana, just to sometimes wear a Brahmanical thread as well. I remember sometimes I travel in a cab or something like that in India, then seeing my dress and attire, some of the taxi wala cabs also mentioned to me that aham bhi Brahman hai. I am also Brahmana, and they even show their Brahmanical thread from their shirt and show this. I am a Brahmana from Banaras, or I am Brahmana from this place or that place. So, well, there can be some proud moment in our life to show our Brahmanical status quo, Brahmanical birth. But are we really Brahmana? No. Real Brahmanical qualification is mentioned in this verse by Lord Rishabhdev, wherein it clearly mentions that Brahmana is not aspiring from anything material, even though Krishna can offer it to them, but he does not want them. The prerequisite of a Brahmana is mentioned is exactly same as what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has mentioned in Shikshashtakam prayers. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmaneshware, bhavatad bhaktir ahitukitvai. A real Brahmana is a real Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada said, a devotee of Krishna is already a Brahmana. Why? Because he has understood the essence of all scriptures, and that is to take shelter of Krishna. So, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. He does not want anything in this material world. Whatever Krishna gives, he is happy and satisfied, and ultimately his goal is to reach the spiritual world, take shelter of Krishna. So this is the precise principle which Srila Prabhupada has taught us in ISKCON, to take shelter of Krishna. I remember one time I was hearing a lecture of Visvanatha Jayapataka Swami Maharaj many, many years back. And he was mentioning a very beautiful point that one time he had gone to South India for his traveling and preaching many years before. So he went to one very, very traditional South Indian temple. And he visited there and took darshan of the deities of Lord Narayan. So the Jayapataka Maharaj was conversing with the pujari who was offering the prayers there. Who was the pujari there offering the who was doing the puja and worship there? So Maharaj mentions that, you know, he asked him, how many sons you have? So he said, I have two sons, the pujari said. So okay. So what about the next generation? After you, who will do this puja of these beautiful deities? So then he said, well, I have two sons. One son is very intelligent and very scoring very good marks in the school and college and all. And we have one more son who is not so good in studies. So then he told Maharaj, my second son is there who is not able to study much. I will engage him in puja services. And he told Maharaj, it looks like you are from outside world, you are from America. Can you help me? My first son is very, very studious. And because he's very studious, so can you help in getting him education or a job in America? So Jayapataka Maharaj was mentioning this point that how even at this level of someone being a pujari of the deities, he was thinking that the best of his son should go to America and study there. And the person who could not go and do studies, then he can be there behind and do puja. So Maharaj mentioned to him very, very nicely that actually to do puja to the deities of Lord Narayan and Lakshmi is the most important and the most beautiful thing your both the sons could do. So therefore, best is that your sons should be here. And because you're from Brahmanical culture, you should take shelter of Lord Narayan and perform bhakti here. So this was like something which Maharaj had to explain to them, even though he was like, since a long, long time, since his childhood, he was worshipping the deities. So this concept is very important to know. We may have the Brahmanical external qualification of a birth in a family or so, but we need to know what exactly it takes to become a Brahmana. A Brahmana is one who takes shelter of Krishna, Krishna Ashraya. As Lord Rishabhdev is mentioning here, he does not want anything except the lotus feet and shelter of Lord Narayan or Lord Shri Krishna. I would like to tell you a beautiful anecdote from Srila Prabhupada. Once Srila Prabhupada was going on a morning walk. And during the morning walk, around 10 to 15 devotees had joined Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada entered into a garden, a big park rather. And Prabhupada was walking with his disciples. It was very early in the morning, and therefore the park was empty. In the whole park, there was a beautiful small pond within the park. And when Prabhupada and his disciples were walking, they saw many ducks were walking on the ground next to the pond. In their usual duck style, they were like walking like this. And as soon as they saw Srila Prabhupada, the ducks saw Prabhupada and the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, the ducks suddenly became very afraid or fearful, maybe like that. And they immediately, all the whole flock, they just started making some sound, and frantically, very fast, they entered into the pond and started gliding in the water. So Prabhupada was like watching all this, and Prabhupada asked his disciples, "So what do you see there? What do you see here?" So one devotee said, "Prabhupada, the ducks are swimming so nicely." Prabhupada said, "That's good. What is another thing? What, any other thing you can see?" And one devotee said, "Prabhupada, the ducks are welcoming you." So some devotees were giving some kind of a very different kinds of answers. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Well, the most important thing we can learn from this duck is, the ducks, they saw us and they became fearful, and therefore they took shelter of the water. Why? Because water is their natural habitat. And they entered frantically inside the water because they think if they are in water, they are safe. Then they are on the land, and the land is not their natural habitat." And Prabhupada said, similarly for human beings, the water is not natural habitat. The land is habitat, and therefore we feel safe and secure walking on the ground. And Prabhupada then pulled out a very important point, explaining that how wherever our natural habitat is there, we will be always finding our shelter and peaceful. And Prabhupada said, for a soul, the natural habitat is the shelter of Krishna. And therefore, as long as we do not take shelter of Krishna, we'll always have fear in this material world. There will be always some or other, some fear will be there, some insecurity in our heart, because we are not in our natural elements. And therefore, a soul needs to take shelter of Krishna. Nityara Krishna Das. Jivere Swarup Hoy Nitya Krishna Das. Our position is that we are Krishna's eternal servant. And till the point we don't take shelter of Krishna, that means if we don't take shelter of Krishna, we have to take shelter of something else always, right? And if we take shelter of this material world, then what will happen? This material world will always create inabilities, insecurities in our mind, and we'll always have we will always have the component of fear in our life to the degree we take refuge in this material world. Therefore, therefore Srila Prabhupada has given us so much of association and so many books and his lectures, so that we hear regularly Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, and understanding that Bhagavat or Lord's teachings are our eternal shelter. These are our limelight through which we traverse a path in this age of darkness and reach our goal. This whole Bhagavat is example of so many great Vaishnavas who have taken shelter of Krishna. If we analyze properly, we will see that these devotees, they are just like us. They were living in this material world. They were in a responsible position. They had family and they had duties. And yet within all that thing, they managed to take shelter of Krishna, and Krishna reciprocated with them. And there are hundreds of examples like this. We'll soon see an example in this very particular section of Bharat Maharaj. How Bharat Maharaj took shelter of Krishna. And within taking shelter of Krishna, there was some kind of a small deviation from his regular ways of devotion, where he got attracted to a deer. Nonetheless, Krishna did take care of him. He became a deer in his next life, but he kept the memory on that he was Bharat Maharaj and he had become a deer. And conclusively, then he got the life of Jad Bharat. And then he became well known as Jad Bharat, who taught the beautiful knowledge of Krishna consciousness to Maharaj Rahogun. So you find so many examples like that in Srimad Bhagavatam, how devotees take shelter of Supreme Lord Krishna. Today I would like to especially point out the example of the Pandavas and Queen Kunti. Pandavas and Queen Kunti, they were considered as one of the best devotees of Krishna during the time of their stay. Why? Because Lord Krishna spent a lot of time protecting them. Krishna during his whole pastimes in this on the earth planet, spent a considerable time of amount of time and energy helping Pandavas in Hastinapur, where they stayed. Why? Because not that he liked Hastinapur, not that he needed a change from Dwarka, so he went to Hastinapur. It was because his devotees had attracted him, and these were the Pandavas. Queen Kunti, in her prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, mentions a stark reality of why Krishna actually spent time with them, because of their surrender. You know, Kunti Maharani's prayers are excellent, super amazing. Of all those prayers, there's one prayer which is such an amazing prayer, which is so difficult to offer. That prayer is really difficult to offer for any of us, rather I would say. What is that prayer? Queen Kunti is praying to Krishna. Krishna is actually about to leave Hastinapur and go to Dwarka. Why? Because Krishna feels that now Yudhishthira has become king, the Pandavas have won the war, and now it is quite kind of peaceful and very safe for them. So I did not stay here. Let me go back to Dwarka to my own family and my own relatives. And that is the time Queen Kunti comes out and begs for him to stay for some more time. In fact, in her prayer to appease Krishna to stay more, she also prays, Krishna, you're thinking that now problems are not in there in my life? Kunti Maharani says, let the problems come again and again. Why? Because when problems come, we get to see you. Now, can you imagine this prayer of Kunti Maharani? When Kunti Maharani has just seen some few days of happiness, whole of her life was spent in so much of distress. She had gone through the anxiety of first having lost her husband and had to take care of 5 children, and all those 5 children constant threat from the Kaurava side, and finally so many atrocities. They were sent to a house of lakh, was supposed to be burnt. Then their wife was insulted. They were forced for a dice game and everything was snatched away. They were exiled for many years. And finally, the battle of Kurukshetra, the ultimate battle. So many problems after problems. And now that the battle is over and Yudhishthir Maharaj has become the king, Kunti Maharani can dare pray, ask Krishna, let the problems come again and again. I was thinking when I analyzed this beautiful prayer that we are going through a major problem in the whole world, in everyone's life, the COVID-19 problem, right? And we all know, we are just praying when this problem will go away, right? We are praying our extra rounds, chanting the holy names, nursing a kavach, Ram Raksha Stotra, so many things we are doing just so that we can come out of this problem. And I don't know, whenever it happens, you come out of this problem, no one will even dare to pray to Krishna, let the problem of COVID-19 come again and again. Why? Because we don't want this problem. So Kunti Maharani is actually praying something like that. Whole life of problems, and she wants the problem again. Why? Because she felt when problems were there, Krishna was with us and we took shelter of Krishna. So she saw problem in a different light, of seeing that how my dependence on this material world went down when the problems came. I realized no one can give me shelter. Only Krishna can give me shelter. And therefore she is praying to Krishna, please, I beg you, stay here. And if you feel that there is no problem in our life, please let problems come again and again, and let us always get your association. And this was same as with all the other Pandavas, Draupadi and the 5 Pandavas. They were all surrendered Vaishnavas and they only wanted Krishna and nothing else. It is like, you know, this problem, I was just analyzing also very important thing, that why a devotee's, pure devotee's welcome problem. Because the welcome problem, because they see that behind that problem is also Krishna's hand. Krishna is always taking care of devotees, whether he's in problem or whether he's in happy state. There is Krishna's presence always. One devotee gave a very beautiful example. So he said that just like in the house where there is a father, mother, and there are small kids, sometimes a father, he comes home and he wears a mask, which like it's like a very terrible face mask of some demon like that. And suddenly comes behind the door and enters the room and he suddenly frightens the kids and he shouts like that, you know, frightens them. Initially, the child is frightened, but then he understands, oh, this is my father. Why? Because he understands that this is just a mask which a father is wearing. So initially, there is some degree of fear in that kid. But then immediately they realize that actually it's my father. He can do no harm, even though he is wearing a mask which looks like very fearsome. Similarly, Krishna conscious devotees, pure devotees, when they see the problems, they can actually analyze that behind the problem, there is hand of Krishna. And they wait for that hand of Krishna to be revealed in their life. Like that. So, like many classes I had here in this Bhakti Sangha, I gave an example of how I visited one ISKCON temple. And there was a unique arrangement made by the devotees of the temple there. Where it was a very small temple and they had a small temple hall where devotees came and heard the Sunday Bhagavatam class. And because the congregation devotees come for the class, they also bring in their children also. And as we know, there is always a challenge how to engage our children when the class is going on. When we are enjoying our katha or our kirtan, there should be also some activity going on for the children as well. Like we are in Bhakti Sangha here also, we have a wonderful program for the kids here. The kids are not just hearing katha, but they are also giving katha and doing all kinds of wonderful cultural activities here. So I found that a unique thing that they had a small kind of a veranda just in front of the temple hall where all the kids would come together and play when the katha and the lecture was going on. However, as you know, the kids, when they start playing, their natural decibel level is very high. And when many kids come together, their decibels together can be quite uproaring. So many times those high volumes where kids playing during the class would disturb the class. So one of the temple resident devotees, he found a wonderful way of dealing with this. So they would always tell the kids that you can play here, no problem. And you can actually shout also, but don't shout too loudly and scream such that it disturbs the class. And the kids would say, yes, yes, we will do that. And yet the kids would always forget. And again, back to square one, they would always scream at the top of their lungs or voice when they would play. So the devotees in the temple, they arranged for a unique kind of a mask or a kind of a face mask, a demoniac face mask, which looked like very like a big demon having big teeth. And they had hung that whole thing on a tree just next to the veranda where that kids would play. And so what happened when the mask was hanging from the top, it looked very fearful. And a temple devotee said, "See, this is new. This person has come. He was last life. He was he was the one of the kids who was very much, you know, kind of screaming. So Krishna punished him to become a ghost. So this ghost is now hanging here, and he comes and catches all those children who are also similarly screaming. So you should not scream." So all the kids said, "Yes, yes, we will not scream." I said, "But you know, this ghost is watching all of you, and anyone who screams, the ghost will call his name or her name when you scream a lot." The kids were like, you know, they're thinking, what kind of this ghost is hanging on a tree here? There was an electronic system which was built up, and the whole system was like, you know, the whole face, the eyes of the mascot, the demonic eyes, it was like nothing but two cameras which were like watching over the whole playground or the veranda where the kids were playing. And in the temple hall where the devotees were doing hearing katha, there was one devotee was also having a monitor, a screen. Where he was from there, the two lenses would watch on the playground and they could hear the decibel levels also. And as soon as any particular kid would scream a lot, then what will happen, this devotee would take up the mic from inside the temple hall. And then in a very strange and very like a very different kind of a voice, like a demonic voice, would shout. And first he would like laugh loudly, and that person would start speaking the name of that boy or girl who is screaming a lot. And say, like for example, something, ha ha ha, and then he said, Okay, Rohit, today evening I'll come and catch you because you're screaming so much. So immediately Rohit would become like, alarm, my goodness, today this ghost is going to come to catch me. And then Rohit would become like very sober and not shout too much. So devotees have a unique system of analyzing this whole thing. So the kids could not figure out that this was actually an electronic system and the person who was speaking was nothing but a very loving, a very nice devotee in temple hall, who was just changing his voice and speaking like a ghost to warn all of them. So this was a kind of a very big mystery for the kids. But for the parents, they had a good laugh for themselves. They were thinking, now these kids got a good way of someone correcting them. So all the grown-up people knew that this mascot and the voice coming is designed by this devotee who's sitting with us and is speaking all those names. But the kids could not figure out. So the example which I learned from here, I was kind of analyzing also, this is similar to our life in this material world, where many people in this material world do not analyze that everything, for everything happening in this material world, there is hand of Krishna. Krishna is behind everything. And for pure devotees, they can actually see through and through these problems, through these calamities, through these anxieties, that Krishna is actually taking us through these problems and Krishna is always with us. Many people in this material world think when problems come, God has given up on them. But actually, in spiritual life, we understand that when problems come, God or Krishna is more with us that time. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Name Bhakta Pranashati, my devotees will never perish. I'll protect my devotees. And this is not just a theory. It's a practical example seen in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Mahabharata, in Ramayana, that Krishna, Lord Ramachandra, did actually protected and carried their devotees all through these problematic stages. We have example of the Pandavas who went through hell, went through a lot, but yet Lord Sri Krishna took them all through these problems, through his whole war of Mahabharata, and they, even though they were in odds, they were not through the whole understanding of how the war was supposed to be, their number was less, and they had less number of great courageous fighters. Yet, because of the presence of Krishna, the five Pandavas, in spite of all odds, they won the battle very easily. Why? Because Krishna was with them all through. So this is what we can learn from this example, that how devotees, great devotees, they don't aspire for anything material, but take shelter of Krishna. For us in ISKCON, our shelter is, of course, Krishna. But for us, the shelter has come through the message of Srila Prabhupada. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada, that wherever we are in this world, we've got a chance to connect with Krishna in a unique way, in a wonderful way of Krishna consciousness. And now we are discussing on pure bhakti, pure devotional service. Many of us, when we entered ISKCON, we did not even know what is pure devotional service, what to speak of pure devotional. We did not even know what is devotional service. And yet now, after entering into ISKCON, after spending a number of years in ISKCON, we are all yearning that we all travel the path of pure devotional service. So this is the greatness of Srila Prabhupada, that he gave us a chance to take Krishna Ashray and drink the real medicine, the rasayan of Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan. So we find here in this beautiful way that how the devotees of Krishna, and especially here it is mentioned Brahmanas, the real Brahmanas, they always take shelter of Krishna. They take shelter of Krishna, and Krishna is the only ashray. Srila Prabhupada mentions a beautiful point here in this purport, that a pure devotee does not aspire to have anything, expect anything in this material world. He is a nishkinchana or akinchana. He has no attachment to this material world. So Srila Prabhupada is an amazing acharya who has taught us how to be detached in this material world. Yet he has also taught us how to live in this material world while we are here. And this is a very powerful balance which Srila Prabhupada has taught us in his books. Many times when we speak with devotees and give a class, there is often a question which comes that how to find a balance while we're practicing Krishna consciousness in this material world. And yes, Srila Prabhupada has given us the balance through his books and through the association of devotees. So through the books, we can read the philosophy of how to balance our life. And through the examples of devotees around us who are of similar mindset, we can have role models to create, to understand the balance which we have. I was analyzing a beautiful point here. I was also mentioning a few classes before that how Srila Prabhupada balanced the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that we become detached and yet we should not be very reckless in our performance of duties while we are in this material world. Srila Prabhupada once mentioned this beautiful point. This material world, he was quoting his own Guru Maharaj. He said, my Guru Maharaj said, this material world is like a toilet. Do your work and get out. So this is Srila Prabhupada said about this material world, that we have to do our duty, but we should not wait here. We should just, when time comes, leave this material world. So this material world is compared to a toilet. Do your duty and do your work and get out. On the other hand, Srila Prabhupada also told us how to be very careful while we are in this world, taking care of everything we do around us. Like Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur. And Prabhupada saw tap was open. Tap was leaking. The water is coming out. And Srila Prabhupada told all the devotees there that we should not waste Krishna's energy. Please get the tap repaired as early as possible. So here was Prabhupada who was teaching us how to be detached from this material world, and yet he was also teaching us how to repair a tap, how to make sure the Krishna's energy in the form of water is not leaking. So that's called perfect balance. While we make our dream, our goal in the spiritual world, and we stay in this material world, we actually abide by our responsibilities and do a perfect job in Krishna consciousness, and thus make a perfect balance. So this is Srila Prabhupada's teaching of Krishna consciousness to all of us. So this is a wonderful understanding which Srila Prabhupada has given us, that how we can balance in this material world by obligating with our duties and also taking shelter of Krishna consciousness through the process of chanting, hearing and following the regular principles. His Holiness Indradyumna Maharaj was mentioning in one of his classes that he happens to go to Vrindavan many times. And then he mentions that he meets many sadhus in Vrindavan who are very, very detached, who are proper Vrindavan mood devotees. So when he talked with many of them, he learned a very amazing thing from them. That they say that, you know, to reach Krishna, Srimati Radharani's lotus feet ashray, the spiritual world, Golok Vrindavan, it is not easy. In fact, they have a step-by-step process of reaching Krishna and Srimati Radharani. They say that you have to stay three life in Braj. You have to take three life in Braj, you have to stay. It's amazing, three life in Braj. That means you come to Braj, take shelter of Vrindavan, stay there, first life perform sadhana bhakti, then you leave your body, then again you get a chance. Next lifetime, whenever it happens, you come to Vrindavan, again take shelter of Vrindavan, and then you progress the next step, you perform bhav bhakti there. And finally, again, you come back in the next lifetime or some other lifetime. And third time you come, then you perform the prema bhakti and then you go back to Golok Vrindavan. And Indradyumna Maharaj was mentioning this point that I was analyzing that, yes, it is not so easy to go back home, back to Varad. These are people who are really renounced and they're saying that it takes three lifetimes for them to go. Then how come we read from Prabhupada books? Prabhupada is saying, just chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds, follow principles, and you'll perfect your life and go back home, back to Varad. So then he understood that actually Srila Prabhupada is such a missionary devotee. Srila Prabhupada, he is an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, that he has got a process which has simplified so much, following the precepts of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And indeed, for all devotees, especially in ISKCON, the process is given where if we just continue abiding by our duties in whichever ashram we are, and at the same time practice Krishna consciousness and diligently, regularly chanting, regularly associating with devotees, following the regulative principles, it may take time, but it works nonetheless. The time taken, but the goal is easily reach. Srila Prabhupada promised us that within his one lifetime, just by following the process of Krishna consciousness, one can go back home, back to Godhead. So these are a few points which I thought I'll share with you today. At this time, I will open it for comments or questions. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful and nectarian class and explaining so beautifully the definition of Brahman by giving so many examples of like Pandavas and explaining about the Kunti prayers also, how we have to associate with the Krishna and the devotees. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. I request devotees. Okay. Tiffany Mataji, you can please go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Actually, I think that Kirtita Sundari's hand was up before mine, so please let her go first.
Okay, Mataji. Kirtita Sundari Mataji, you can please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Dhanur Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. This is Ajay Govindrath here. I don't know why my name is displayed as Kirtita Sundari. She's my wife. So I have one question, Prabhu, and this question is more from the perspective of understanding. Like, you were giving the example and in the discourse that whatever the adverse things comes in our life, they are Krishna's arrangement and we should accept them. Now, taking the example of the kids which were making the noise in the class, we tried to put all kinds of solutions to take that problem away and did not accept it as a Krishna's arrangement while the class is going on. So there is a discrimination where you take certain things as Krishna's arrangement and there are certain things which you do not take. Oftentimes, there could be a confusion or people can take the advantage where they don't want to act as a Krishna's arrangement and where they should act, leave it, right? So how do we understand that? Because if there's a class going on, in the class, the speaker is speaking that everything is Krishna's arrangement and at the same time, he says that, you know, take care of the kids who are making a noise, it looks like a duality. So I'm not saying or any judging anything on the speaker, but how do we take these situations in the life, you know, to discriminate intelligently that this is really a Krishna's arrangement or not a Krishna's arrangement?
Yeah. Thank you for your nice question. So you see, why that kid screaming was a problem? Because it was disturbing Krishna consciousness, right? We were into a class and the lecture was going on. And if something comes in the wake of Krishna consciousness, stops of Krishna consciousness, that itself is a problem. We have to work on solving the problem. So problem is not defined by the face value of the problem, but what is the result of that problem. Kunti Maharani considered Krishna's leaving Hastinapur and going to Dwarka as a problem. And she considered if Krishna has to stay, let the problems come and that is good for her. So problem is not the kids screaming. The problem is the Bhagavatam class were disrupted, which is actually Krishna Katha, which is part of Krishna consciousness. And therefore the devotees worked in such a way that the kids should continue to play because that is their right to play as their age, but then they should not go beyond the limit of disturbing the class itself. So a kind of a win-win solution was given where such system was made where the class goes very swiftly and also the kids keep playing like that.
Yes, Prabhu, agreed, but this is kind of like a very simple situation. Let's take a life of a devotee and a person is in a adverse that, you know, a family gets, you know, a family member is not keeping healthy. You lose your job at the same time. Somebody else in the family meets an accident. So how do we take all these things that, you know, this is Krishna's arrangement?
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, Kunti Maharani's example, if we talk about, is very good. But if I talk about myself and if something of that sort, the example which I'm giving in my family, I would not be able to vision that something good is coming out of it and be pacified that, you know, this is Krishna's arrangement, even though knowing that, you know, I cannot do anything and this is Krishna's arrangement. But logically, it won't be very much possible because, you know, certainly we are not at that level. But then, you know, those kind of situations are contradictory to what we learn when it comes to implementation because surely we are not there. But then how do we understand it?
Yeah, Prabhu, I can understand the current situation which is prevailing in this material world, especially this is a very tough thing to even digest that how it's Krishna's arrangement in our life. one thing which I can only see help you in this regard with something which I learned in Krishna consciousness. I'm not myself a pure devotee. But one thing which analyzes the association of devotees is very important in our life, right? Like, for example, yesterday I was giving a class to a group of devotees on the Zoom. And a similar kind of question was asked by one lady to me, on Mataji. And she also mentioned that, how we can understand the problems or Krishna's arrangement or Krishna is behind that. So I just asked all the audience in that Zoom that how many of you feel there is a problem going on in this material world? And literally everyone raised their hands. If I ask you, I can't see many windows are off, videos off. Everyone say, yes, Prabhu, this is a problem going on. We have to fix up this COVID-19, the most important deadly problem happening here. So then I analyzed that actually we are not the only one in problem now. Right. Let us not talk about the world. At least we are very sure the very near and dear ones, the devotees of all of ISKCON or Krishna consciousness, we are all on the same boat. So it is not that. So if you analyze that, this is actually the situation with all the devotees. So there can be some we may have some Vilasa Buddha's Hindi mein. That I am not the only one who is going through this problem. There are a lot of poets who have mentioned this, I have a problem in my life, but when I see someone else's problem which are bigger than mine, then I feel my problem is not so much compared to his or her problem. So this association of devotee is an elixir for us, where we understand that, Prabhu, come on, now this is not that the only time I am having problem. There have been time in this association of devotees where I am staying. Few years back, some other devotee had problem, much more bigger than mine problem. And it was that time that when I was not having a problem, I was trying to help that devotee, console or help the devotee in his or her Krishna consciousness. So the situation of material world will not change for a devotee, right? Krishna has never promised in his books, in the teachings, that just because we become devotees, this material world will become a better place for us, right? Like, for example, if you are going on a road, and in the road, if you see in India, especially maybe in America also, I'm not so sure. If you walk on a road and there's a garbage which is dumped in one corner, and the garbage truck has not come for a few days, what happens? It's a rotten smell there. So let's say some karmi, a materialistic person goes across the street around that corner. What will happen? He'll feel very disgusting. And then he will feel that smell, horrible smell coming from the garbage can. Similarly, a devotee who's chanting Hare Krishna is walking on the street and going through the garbage can. Will he not feel the smell? He will feel the smell. It's not because you're a devotee, then suddenly the garbage can will start smelling like a chandan sandalwood. Not. There will be a smell. But the effect of that is seen very easily. Like, for example, for a materialistic person, when he goes through the garbage can, what is the immediate reaction? He starts abusing and saying, who is this rascal? What is garbage can? What is this? He's like disgusted and then he walks away. On the other hand, a devotee may walk through the whole thing and he may feel the smell, but somehow he just adjusts, understands that this is part of life. Hare Krishna. Maybe he is hearing some nice katha also in his earphones and his mobile. He may be completely absorbed and not even feel the smell of that garbage and walk through the whole road, right? So Krishna consciousness provides us an opportunity to get absorbed. So we are not saying that there is no problem. And we are also saying that Krishna never promised the devotees will have no problem in this material world. The material world is labeled by Krishna as Upalaya or Shashwata, but it's temporary. Yet at the same time, we should also know that we have been conditioned to accept that this material world will always be a very cozy place for us. And therefore, there is a stark reality which is now, it is amazing at this point of time in this world, everyone together is experiencing stark reality. Previous to this incident, everyone differently would experience the stark reality. Some family would be experiencing trouble, others would be having a very happy life. Then the whole things will be passed on. But now everyone experiencing. So at this time, let us remind each other that Krishna has told us this material world is dukhalaya mashashvatam. It's a temporary place. And we need to, at this time, learn or rather give an exam, right? As you say, we learned our theory in the classes, and now we have to practice those theory. And who's going to help us in practicing the theory? The devotees, right? So we are all here devotees. We are going through the same stage of life. Yet within amongst us, there are some devotees who are taking it very spiritually, taking it very positively, and practicing Krishna consciousness. So we can learn from them. The association is right. This is the right time to actually look into, peep into the association of devotees we are in, and learn the lessons of how to glide through this very difficult stages of life. We are not saying here that we are not in difficulty. We are in problem. And yet we also agree that we are not very advanced to understand this problem as Kunti Maharani or Pandavas. But there is a great hope. At least we have hope. We have association of devotees. There are so many people in this world today who have become hopeless because they don't have a positive association like we have. Right? They have given up hope. There is so much of despair, anxiety. There is no... I mean, people are living like they are living just for today. They don't know what will happen tomorrow. That's the condition of the material world today at this time. But within our Krishna consciousness, here we have a perfect Bhakti Sangha retreat program here. And here, very beautifully, every day, you're hoping for the next day to come. Your Bhagavatam in the evening, here Chaitanya Charitamrit, come together and chant in the morning with the devotees here. It's a wonderful association. This is the time to take full advantage positively, consciously of this. Because if you don't take right now, then whatever theory we have heard, so many classes we clapped and we have given so many classes ourselves, this will all remain a theory. Time to practice now. This is what I see. See, I am also going through the problems. It is not that I am brahmachari, so I am alone. I also have relatives, so I also know a lot of things happening to them. They are approaching me and there are so many problems happening. But I see this as an opportunity for us to now practice what we have learned so far. And I find so many devotees whom I consult, they also give me some hope. And I know that this problem is a temporary problem. Yeah, it's a temporary problem. There will be solutions. There will be positivity. We have to wait and watch. In India, especially where I can come from, I'll tell you one thing. When 2020, I'll tell you how it is a mix of happiness and distress here. Jan 2020, right? Emerges all those different videos from China on the WhatsApp group, right? Where people are dying on the street. And we are just thinking, what is this China? You know, they are eating so many nonsense and therefore they are suffering. So those kind of videos are just forwarded very easily, very recklessly, and not very much of us. We are not thinking about it too much. March comes in. March comes in and India is under lockdown. The last week of March, we go under lockdown for the next 6-7 months, heavy lockdown and so much anxiety and all. We go through hell of it, right? We can't go out, stay in our house, small place. And October, November opens up and again there's a fresh light, a fresh hope. People venture out in the streets. People venture out on the world. What they could not do in 6 months, now they are going to do everything in the next 2-3 months, whatever possible. All yatras, all hotels, all go to all places.
Yeah.
So after distress, then suddenly happiness is coming. And Jan goes on, Feb goes on. We are hearing about the UK, UK variant. Okay, UK, no problem. I think that UK happened. This problem in UK, this happening in US, this happening in Brazil, no problem. And whoops, March end, after 1 year exactly, the second wave strikes, India is in heavy trouble now. So again, dukkha has come. So have you not heard this in the Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says, Matra Sparshastu Kauntiya Sita Ushna Sukha Dukkara Agama Payo Nitya Stam Stitikshva Shubharata. Now this is like this happiness and distress like summer and winter seasons. They come, they stay for some time, but they are temporary. They will go away. So we are actually experiencing summer and winter example will not be as relevant as today example of actual happiness of those and the distress we are going through. And yet Krishna is advising us that go through it, just tolerate it and just continue to perform your duty. And whenever we fall short of any inspiration, we have association of devotees amongst us. We can always meet devotees. We can always... meet devotees, but at least we can at least talk to devotees. We can be with devotees and open our hearts. Yes, opening our hearts is needed at this time. We must have not opened our hearts to many for so many years, but this is the time to open our hearts. Dharati Pati Grunati Bhuyam Akhyati Prichati Bhunte Bhojayate Chaiva. For us, association of devotees always was Bhunte Bhojayate Chaiva, right? Or Dharati Pati Grunati, more or less. Convert them to Prasadam, go to their house Prasadam, that's it. But now it's a time. Guhyam Akhyati Prichati. Yes, I'm going through a lot of problems, a lot of my trust as faith has gone in Krishna consciousness. Why don't I open a heart to some devotee? And get and Krishna actually helps us. Oh, Krishna will definitely help us. And if we take the first step, we'll see Krishna's hand. And ultimately, when the problem is gone, we'll see Krishna's full hand afterwards. It all depends on how much advanced we are. But yet, nonetheless, Krishna does give us realizations in Krishna consciousness. So I am with you, Prabhuji. I don't want to give any solutions to your problem. We're all together with all of you. And we're going through the same phase, and yet what we always spoke and heard is a time to practice that. Take shelter of association, take shelter of our chanting, take shelter of Krishna consciousness. This is what I can offer you, because I also part of this material world. I don't know what's happening here. So this is what I can offer to you.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for such an elaborated answer. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for this.
Thank you so much, Ajay Govind Prabhuji, for a beautiful question. And thank you, Prabhuji, for such an enlightening answer. Now I request Tiffany Mataji, you can please go ahead, Mataji, with your question or realization.
Thank you so much for the wonderful class. Every time you give class for us, I love all of the analogies you share and everything you share from Srila Prabhupada and his great wisdom. I really appreciated the stories that you told about Srila Prabhupada and the ducks in the pond, and also the father coming home with the mask. And it all, my question is, I guess, is more about how do we, not take shelter of material life. I know you said to keep that balance, which to me was a beautiful answer. But when you gave the story about the father coming home with the mask, what I took from it was, why don't we as devotees see the material world as that mask, as something very scary? What happens is we're scared when things happen in the beginning, and then we become complacent after we see it over and over again. And so we stay attached to the material world. So how do we get out of that? How do we stop ourselves from going to those things, from going back into the pond and saying, no, I have to depend on Krishna? So thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you.
For every question, the answer is almost the same. Chant Hare Krishna, associate with devotees, and follow four regulative principles. But I'll decorate the question now, answer a little more by saying that, ultimately, we are all the devotees in Krishna consciousness, as Srila Prabhupada also mentioned in this verse. We should aim to go back home, back to world. That is our shelter. That is a place where we actually belong to, right? The spiritual world. What will happen is, this material world is also Krishna's place, right? It is Krishna's creation itself. It's a temporary place which Krishna has created for us to go through. However, we should also understand that we have examples of many devotees who also pray that, Krishna, whether you keep me in this material world or take with you in the spiritual world, I have no problem. Let me stay wherever I can, wherever I can serve you. So we have devotees who have realizations that they are even ready to stay in this material world, birth after birth, to serve Krishna. So that means they are experiencing something which we are not even able to understand. What is that experience? That experience is that they are experiencing spiritual world while staying in this material world. And that is what a devotee of Krishna, before he goes to the spiritual world, he will get a glimpse of that spiritual world while staying here. Yeah, it's like a probation period, a probation training period. Like before, when someone gets a job in a company, a factory, wherever he's appointed to work, he goes through a probation period where he has to work as a what we call internship or something like that. And eventually he gets qualified to go and work. Become permanent employee in a company. So we will become a permanent employee in spiritual world. The same spiritual world we will experience while staying here in this material world. And we will see everything very Krishna conscious. Actually, Prabhupada said this material world and spiritual world both belong to Krishna. It is when we are in condition stage of life, we are in duality, we see this is matter and this is spirit. But for a pure devotee, this is all Krishna's, it all belongs to Krishna. Like I give also an example of that trash can, the garbage can, which was not moved by a truck, right? So this is a beautiful story of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was in New York and they were going on a morning walk in the city. And devotees were so immersed hearing from Prabhupada that the devotee was supposed to lead the whole walk. He forgot and Prabhupada took a wrong turn and ultimately led to a dead end where there was a big trash can. And it was a very horrible place to reach. So immediately he just folded his hands and told Prabhupada, I'm sorry I brought you to this hellish place. And Prabhupada said, this is not hell, this is Vaikuntha, Prabhupada said. The devotee thinks, this is Vaikuntha? Nothing looks like Vaikuntha here for us. But yes, Prabhupada, for him, it looked like, it seemed Vaikuntha because he was fully absorbing Krishna consciousness, right? So we can see that how Prabhupada could see Vaikuntha. And Prabhupada did see Vaikuntha. How can Prabhupada make New Dwarka in Los Angeles? How can he make New Vrindavan in West Virginia? How can he make Panihati? I mean, I don't know which are places which I have in USA where he probably named those places as New Dwarka, New Vrindavan, and so many other places, right? New Jagannath Puri, San Francisco, a place, Haight Ashbury, where all hippies were staying, Prabhupada called it New Jagannath Puri. So Prabhupada was actually experiencing a spiritual world where he was, because he was not experiencing the duality which we are experiencing of matter and spirit. Yes, indeed, when we advance in Krishna consciousness, then we can actually see that this material world is also a spiritual world where Krishna is in full control, and we'll experience Krishna consciousness at every step. And then that consciousness which we experience here will be further solidified and carried up when we actually go back to Krishna Loka, where the same experience awaits us eternally. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much for your beautiful answer. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for a wonderful answer. Now I request Sukhasagari Mataji, you can please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvar Pranams. All goes to Shri Guru and Ashtara Prabhupada. Prabhuji, I just was intrigued by the example you gave. By the story. I don't know if it is real or you just told about the, you know, how to engage the kids when the parents are listening to the class. So I was a little intrigued. Is that a real story?
It's a real story, but I'll not tell the name of the temple where it happened.
Yeah, it is a little strange because there are so many nice positive ways to engage kids in Krishna consciousness. And practically even at our temple,
devotees take... That's why I got the name, because time, place, circumstances, not, this example may not relevant all over the world.
True, yeah, I'm a little surprised.
In India somewhere, but not necessarily in America or in some other place. So I did not name the temple. But just give an example of how we can see that, how through this example we can see that this example proves this point, that those who are very mature, they can see behind that there is actually a great lesson behind this whole thing. That's the point I tried to drive. Yes,
true. I mean, you're just using it as an analogy to explain something else, but I was more intrigued about instilling fear as a method for children, which we generally don't advocate. So that's why I was wondering if it's just some story you're trying to explain an analogy with, or was it a real thing that happened? So
maybe they can contact all of you to get very positive lessons of how to engage the kids. Definitely, I can. I know the temple. Which temple is that? I will definitely give them a link to join your Bhakti Sangha group and get some more positive ways of engaging kids in
I'm sure they all know Prabhuji. I don't know what were the situation, so I'm sure they're all more educated and more knowledgeable. Just that I was very surprised listening to it. Yeah. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Now I request Deepika Mataji. You can please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, so nice to hear you, because we can't go to Radha Gopinath Mandir. So it's nice to hear you just now. Okay, Prabhuji, this is regarding...
Radha Gopinath.
Please, pray that we all can be. Okay, Prabhuji, this very beautifully you answered the question, you know, prior to Tiffany Mataji's question, how to, you know, address the crises and the problems happening right now with us. Prabhuji, am I allowed to share something what I heard in Chaitanya Charan Prabhuji's lecture?
Sure.
Regarding this? Yeah. Okay, Prabhuji said that our mistakes are not God's plan, but God's plan can work on even through our mistake. And then he said, everything that happens may not be for good, but everything that happens can be for good. So this, I just wanted to share what I heard in his lecture.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's relevant. It helps.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for sharing that. I request any other devotees have any other questions or realizations to Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Sham Gauri Mata ki Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the beautiful class and many stories and many nice analogies.
I'm not able to hear you clearly.
Oh, sorry. Thank you, Prabhuji, thank you.
If no other devotees have any other questions or realizations, we can end the call here.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Vrinda Mataji.
I don't have any question. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Prabhuji, very practical class. Always it's help us in our day-to-day life. Anant Koti Dandavat Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, once again for explaining so nicely how the pure devotees welcome the problems and also how the Srila Prabhupada have gave us to balance the material things and everything to reach the back to Godhead. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha kalpata rupyasya krupa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय श्री भागवतान की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय हिज ग्रेस बलदेव दास प्रभु जी की जय थैंक यू सो मच प्रभु जी
हरे कृष्णा